Our next reader is Wendy Donowa. Please welcome her.
Thank you, Yvonne. And thank you all for being here. It's wonderful to be in such good poetic company. Most wished in her wild heart. Now, even the knobbed and gnarled ginger root guards its aromatic tang and gift. Just so the bone its marrow, and just so the sun its shadows, swung against the day as bamboo contours sweep my wall. Once a yellow-eyed hawk perched on my balcony, then left. What it offered, I cannot entirely name. For instance, a row of favorite pots hangs, a chosen knife waits, quiet and gleaming. Also, how you sit, chin in hand, how your glance softens through the stew's herb steam. Even violet-haired Sappho, unsure what she most wished in her wild heart, but again that loosening of limbs. Still, the wild migrates into our dailiness, into the pots and the chopped herbs, into your face in the dying light and the hawk's cry. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Our next reader is Harvey Jenkins, and he's going to read the poem by Russell Thorburn, a poet from Michigan. Please welcome Harvey Jenkins.
Thank you. Yes, this is by Russell Thorburn. The Photo Club Outing. We hear the station wagon dig its own grave in January. All of us from the orphanage who wear trouble around our necks, frame the edge of the field that's no longer there. Us boys who watch the snow falling lift our cameras up to leave the day with nothing but pictures. The wind makes a big deal of us, stuck in a drift near an abandoned farmhouse with newspaper windows, the teeth of its metal fence grinning. We hear our mentor shouting, "Shove!" The tires fishtailing in the snow. He's Polish, and we make fun of his eyebrows, untrimmed like many of his words. But he's driven the photo class out for an outing, and as ghosts we depart beside the weathered farmhouse. Nobody loves us as we budge the bottom of the wagon, scraping against ice, orphans who shiver at the end of the road. Inside, he smokes wearing sunglasses hunched over the steering wheel. He collapses the gas pedal. The tires done spinning catch a groove. Out he escapes and we chase after him, not knowing what we will become as men. Our Polaroids slide into deep pockets with leftover stars of the night. Thanks.
Thank you. That was Harvey Jenkins reading a poem by Russell Thorburn. And next, I'm going to invite Andrew Brown to read Samuel Green's poem. Samuel Green is a poet in the Cascadia region in the U.S. Please welcome Andrew Brown.
Thank you, Yvonne. Does anyone here know Samuel Green? Well, he's written a hell of a poem, and it's my great pleasure to read it tonight. It's called New Owner. The new owner is sick and tinker-tired, he says, of all of us grandkids stopping just to set foot on the land she worked and walked. And so what if we offer to prune the orchard the way we know she did? And why would he care a gnat's eyebrow where she kept her pitchfork, axe, or rake? And no, We can't check the old hen house for fake eggs we played with, or see if a hidden cowbell is still in the same place. He doesn't want to see my initials and some girls carved on the bottom of a heart-grained beam halfway up the weather side of the barn after she and I slid our itchy bodies out of the bales. And no, we can't have that hay hook with the groove her right thumb wore in the handle. No one should have left it there in the first damn place. And he wouldn't give two shits to know where we used to dump the heads and guts of butchered steers over the bluff. And no, we can't go looking for skulls, and her berries are long gone. He pulled them out, so don't ask for starts. And forget about hoping to rake smelt on the beach. They don't spawn there anymore. And so, what if we used to shoot a lot of rabbits? There are still a lot. So we didn't make much of a dent, did we? And he couldn't care a starving barn cat's ass less about the name she gave her cows. And why can't we realize it's been 24 years since she had that stroke and died, and none of this will bring her back? And no, 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 he never wondered whether anyone, anywhere, will love him for so long. And like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. And thank you, Samuel Green. Our next reader is Richard Osler. Please welcome him.
Some poems just keep coming back. And this little rascally calf that I found at 14 years old in a swamp, and I don't know what I saw. It was dark, and I plunged my hand down, and I felt a skeleton. And I didn't know whether it was a human body. And I realized later that it was a life-changing experience. Something dark entered what had been a very innocent life to that point. And I don't know how many more of these poems I'll be writing to this calf, but here's another one. It's called Bog Angel. Drawn down dead inside the swamp, a calf grows wings. It gives away its mother, its voice. It gives away the light, and afterwards its mouth, the black of its hide, then its hide, its guts, even its bones, once the color of ivory, now black, that black. A cub chews down into secrets, safe for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Our next reader is Leanne Boschman. Please welcome her.
Random Acts of Poetry is a literacy project that involves poets from across the country going out into the streets with their poems, into public places, into schools and universities and so on, and offering to read for people and to give away their books. So a few years ago, I went to Duncan with some poems to give away. Poems to Strangers. Duncan, its downtown streets gashed open, all summer long gravel spews onto sidewalks, a determined line of cars creeps forward. On the back seat, books of poems, covers shine as if I'd polished with moistened fingertips. In a literacy class, students listen, some curious, others wary of my words. Just before I leave, a man with front teeth missing whispers, "I never heard anyone read a poem before." We pose in front of a portrait of a giant bagel. Enthusiastic listeners suggest I read at a local clinic. As if I had handed her a crumpled dandelion, the receptionists reply, "No, we don't want anything like that here." At a woman's apparel store, the clerk explains that yes, their boss probably does like poetry. However, she is on the phone, will be on the phone for some time, as this is a place of business after all. Not so much as a glance my way as they smooth, sleek fabrics, but we all hear it, that small moan of a poem smothered in silk. ESL students ask to echo my goodbye in a poem about leave-taking, their farewells in Mandarin, Korean, Spanish, Czech, and Polish. Silence follows last syllables as we all cradle whatever was beloved left behind. As if my own grandmother, who told stories of a hasty wartime departure, had been incarnated, this elderly Sikh woman beams at me so that I half expect her to say, Liana, now for me, sing another song.
We're going to hear two more poems. I'm going to read two poets from Victoria, didn't come, The Wicked Monkeys, Daniel Scott and Barbara Pellman. I have to forgive them both, but I'm going to read Daniel's poem, if I can quickly find it. Sometimes things happen, so I have to forgive them, right? I just won't put them on the list at the open mic in September. Don't tell them. This is Daniel G. Scott's poem, Important Work. Every time it snowed, their mother woke those two boys early. They pulled on all their winter gear, boots, toques, mitts, set off, shovels on their shoulders, trudged across town, sometimes right down the middle of the road, no cars around, maybe the plow crossed the bridge river frozen, snow skidding along the ice, light beginning to tickle the sky. It was important to shovel the driveway right up to the doctor's garage door, his big Buick inside, in case he had to get out for somebody who was urgent sick next. All the walkways to his office surgery, tossing snow into mounds, some taller than them, people had to be able to get in. He paid them in bills, $2 each. His big round face looking down so smooth, saying thank you. A lot of money for them, for the whole family. The hot porridge tasted so good when they got home. That was Daniel Scott, and now please welcome Linda K. Thompson.
Well, it's just a quarter full. Friend, listen. These are in my bones, the 5 o'clock sun on the canal, trees that rise to their shapes, dark and deep, blue clay dug from the coulee that cuts through the Glover Ranch, soft gray silt from the Lillooet. I say this now, it will be a long time dark. Bring your own light to the grave.
Thank you, Linda. That is everyone, unless I've missed anyone, which does occasionally happen, but I don't think so. No? Good. Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, so much for coming out and listening and for reading and for buying books. I don't think we have to run away, do we? There's time for conversation and drinks, or we can carry it on across the street. Oh, and please, tonight, Demeter's Coffee Vault has given us free coffee and passed out water, and please, if you don't mind dropping a loony in the tip jar or a toonie on your way out, that would be lovely. Thanks everyone for a great night, and You have time for poetry.